Greet each of you in the precious name of Jesus. Special welcome to all the visitors we have among us. I trust you'll feel at home with us this morning and worship the Lord together. Those of you who are here every Sunday know that I am in the midst of a series of sermons, but I have felt led this morning to go elsewhere, so I do not intend to continue my series this morning. We'll do that at a later point. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1 for a beginning text. First Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 18 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I'd actually like to look at verse 19, 18 and 19. Verse 18, we have the word redeemed there. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, and he says, list the things that you're not redeemed by, but then gives what we are redeemed by in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The sermon this morning is an evangelistic sermon, and the title is, Are You Washed in the Blood? This precious blood of Jesus Christ in verse 19 that he says we are redeemed by. And my question is a title for each one of us personally. Are you washed in the blood? Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 and reading the whole chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And notice this next phrase, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. His blood cleanseth us from all sin. Are you washed in the blood? What do we mean by washed in the blood? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Being saved, having peace with God, are all synonymous to being washed in the blood of Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So if we are in Christ, we are washed in the blood of Jesus. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. If we are living under the blood of Jesus, then we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Hebrews 7:25. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18, verse 3. We see that word converted and become as little children. That's being washed in the blood of Jesus. Jeremiah 21, 8. Thus saith the Lord, Old Testament verse, but I believe it applies to today. Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. God sets before us the way of life and the way of death. Are you washed this morning in the blood of Jesus? I believe that the experience of being washed in the blood of Jesus, while its beginnings is at the new birth, when we realize our need of God and we come to him and he washes us in his blood, forgives us of our sin. I believe it is also an experience in the Christian life that needs to happen again and again. Are you washed in the blood? And I believe it applies to each of us this morning. Are the situations of life that we faced in the past week and month and years of our life, are they washed in the blood? Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? Jesus sets before you the way of life and the way of death. If we choose the way of life, then we choose to be washed in the blood of Jesus. In your initial Christian experience, may be different, is very different for all of you. It'd be interesting to hear your testimony and your experience of when you met God and were born again. But all of those experiences are similar in a couple of ways. I'd like to just go over that a little bit. what we really mean by being washed in the blood of Jesus, being born again, being converted. Romans 3, verse 23 is a verse we often use to bring people to God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In order for you and I in the beginning stages of new birth to receive Jesus into our hearts, we have to recognize that there's a great void in here and a great need. I have to recognize my need. I recognize that I have sinned and I've come short of what God wants me to be. We read that passage in 1 John 1, and verse 9 says, I believe this is the second step in being born again. If we confess our sins, in verse 9. The opposite of that is in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin. And that's the difference between a person who's ready to be born again and brought into God's kingdom and one that isn't. And it's the difference between a Christian that lives a victorious life today and one that isn't. Are we saying, but I haven't done anything wrong? Or are we confessing our sins? Confess our sins, if we confess our sins. John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many as received him. That's an important part of new birth experience. And finding the blood of Jesus washing our sins away, we must ask Jesus to come into our hearts. We must ask him to come in. And I believe there are times in the Christian life, even 20 or 30 years later, when we have to ask again, Jesus, will you come in? Will you cleanse what is here? Will you wash my sins away with your blood? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Another step in finding cleansing in the blood of Jesus, we must believe. Whosoever believeth in Jesus shall not perish. Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We have this word confess again. It's a little different than confessing our sins. It says we are to confess the Lord Jesus. And I believe when we come to a new birth experience, we realize that, yes, we've sinned. We recognize our need. We confess our sin. We ask Jesus to come into our life. We believe that Jesus is the answer. And then we say, Jesus is the answer. We confess. We say that Jesus is the answer to all of my problems in life. And that again is something that we need to do again and again as we go through life. Think back over the troubles and difficulties and perplexities of your life. Do you still believe that Jesus is the answer to all of them? That's the way to find cleansing under the blood of Jesus. I believe this morning that being washed in the blood of Jesus is a notable event in the life of every Christian. We are saved by faith. The Bible says we are new creatures. The Bible says old things are passed away, all things are become new. It's a notable event that we can look back at and we can say, it happened. It happened. I believed. I confessed my sin. I recognized my need. And God miraculously came into my life and made a difference in my life. A notable event. For the rest of the sermon, I would like to look at 9 points that all come directly from a song. The songwriter is Elisha Huffman. And he wrote this song. The title was in a question form. And the title, you don't have it in your songbooks, I don't think, but in the Christian hymnal number 274, the title is Thy Heart Right with God? And in this song, he repeats that question 15 times. He repeats that question 15 times. Is thy heart right with God? But he asks 9 other questions in his song that I would like to use for the rest of my message this morning, and I would like you and I to think about it. Are you washed in the blood? I believe these 9 questions will help us to know if we today are washed in the blood of Jesus. The first question that he asks in this song is, have thy affections been nailed to the cross? The word affections we don't use so much in the English language today. But I think most of you still know what it means. You have affections for something or someone in life. You have great desires and plans for your life. You have noble ambitions. You at times have evil ambitions in your life. You can think of all those affections, those loves, those things that mean so much to you. And the songwriter says, have thy affections been nailed to the cross? Memory verse in the adult Sunday school class stuck out to me this morning. It had that word affections in it. Set thy affections, your affections on things that are above. And I think that's what the songwriter had in mind. And part of setting our affections on things that are above is taking the affections that mean so much to us in life and nailing them to the cross. Have you done that? And taken the affections that God wants you to have in your life and began with them to lay up treasures in heaven? Second question that he asked in that song, dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. I don't know for sure, but I surely think the songwriter was thinking about this verse when he asked that question. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to just read verses 7 to 11. Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul says that he counts all things but loss. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, I do count them all but dung, that I may win Christ. Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? How do you look at the great accomplishments of life that you have anticipated as a youth? How do you look at the good things that you have done in life for other people. How do you look at the victories that you have won in your Christian life? Is it all loss if it wasn't for Jesus? That's what it should be. It's all loss if it wasn't for Jesus. Do we give Jesus all the glory and honor for all of the things that we are able to accomplish in life? Question number 3, he asks this question: hast thou dominion or self and or sin? And then he asks another one: over all evil without and within. I'm going to put those two together. I think he meant them together, if I understand him right. Hast thou dominion or self and or sin over all evil within and without? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. I don't know for sure, but I think Paul may have been thinking about wartime here in this verse when he said that he has the word whom in there, of whom a man is overcome. So if there's an army coming against your army and you are overcome by that army, of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. In Bible times they understood that very well, that if the army came and conquered the army of their land, well, then they became bondservants to the man or the army who had overcome. But I think Paul had a deeper meaning than that. He may have been thinking about that as well, but I think at least it is very applicable to sin. For of whom a man is overcome, if man is overcome by sin, of the same is he brought in bondage. So if the devil brings us temptations to sin and we sin, it becomes a bondage to us. Verse 20, for after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb: the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. You see bondage there. The sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. We used to have pigs at home when I was young, and I understood this verse very well. If you never had any pigs out in the mud and the dirt somewhere and you wanted to clean one up for some reason and you took a garden hose and washed them off, got them all clean, got them ready to bring inside where you wanted them, and before you got them there, they back out to the mud hole. Just all covered with mud again. So it is with the bondage of sin. Hast thou dominion or self and or sin? Or are you in the bondage of sin this morning? Are you living in personal victory? Remember, the sin that overcomes you puts you into bondage. And then you no longer have dominion over self and sin by the power of God. You don't have that dominion. How can I know if I am washed in the blood of Jesus if I am not found in the bondage of sin? And if I have dominion over myself and my sin by the power of God, then I am washed in the blood of Jesus. Fourth question he asks, is there no more condemnation for sin? Tom, turn to Psalm 40 and verse 12. There's a lot of verses we could turn to. We think about the condemnation of sin in the Bible. But we'll look at this one. Psalm 40 and verse 12 paints a picture for us. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. That's a heart that's living under condemnation, under the condemnation of God. Your sin and your iniquities have taken hold upon you so much so that you cannot look up to God. The songwriter said, is there no more condemnation for sin? And if there's no more condemnation and you can look to God this morning, then you are washed in the blood of Jesus. But if you are not able to look, and the iniquities have taken hold upon you, and then you're in condemnation. The fifth question that he asks, does Jesus rule in the temple within? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? Recently in a sermon I preached, I talked about the body being the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I think surely that's what the songwriter was thinking about. Is the Holy Spirit infilling your life? Is he ruling the temple within? You know, the devil wants self to rule. He wants to rule through self, but God wants to rule. And the choice is mine and yours this morning. Which way is it? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? Inside of your heart, is he ruling this morning? If he is, then you are washed in the blood of Jesus. If he's not ruling, then you need to be washed. The sixth question he asks, are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, I think, paints an opposite picture of having all of our powers under Jesus' control. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Sin is ruling. This man cannot even do what he wants to do. He ends up doing what he hates. Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? If they are this morning, then we can do good things with the help of God. The seventh question he asks, does he each moment abide in thy soul? Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. If we are blood-washed saints this morning, then we know him, for he dwelleth with you. Does he each moment abide in thy soul? The eighth question he asked, art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? Let's go back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, we already read this passage. I'm just going to point something else out in this passage. Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. We're declaring that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in darkness and we say that we love God, we lie. But if we walk in the light of Jesus, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Where are you walking this morning? Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? Jesus wants each of us to walk in the light and to leave the darkness behind. The ninth question he asks in this song, the last one, is thy soul wearing the garments of white? I'd like to look at two passages in connection with this. Psalm 51, first of all, verse 7. Psalm 51 and verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. The psalmist knew something about the cleansing of Jesus. He may have been thinking of cleansing, the cleansing ceremony in the Old Testament as well, when he mentions hyssop. But he knew something about whiteness there. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7. Verse 13. We're breaking in the middle of a story, but I think you can still get what's happening here. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. For one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Notice the white robes. And I think the songwriter was surely thinking of this verse when he wrote this question, is thy soul wearing the garment of white? It's interesting how he says here, I thought about this passage before and had thought about the white robes that we are going to be given when we get to heaven. And that's probably true. But when asked who they were, what did he say? He said, these are those that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood this morning? Are you cleansed by the blood of Jesus? I'm going to give an invitation this morning, if you're led to do that. If you are not finding yourself washed in the blood of Jesus this morning, I would plead with you to raise your hand or stand to your feet as we sing, because Jesus is interested in bringing you joy, interested in seeing every one of us washed in the blood of Jesus. We can turn into Zion's praises to 309.